We've got a wedding happening today.
Yay!
Yeah, that's better. So my name is Bonami Magwenzi, and my husband and I oversee this campus. And recently we started a series on the book of Ruth. The title of my message today is Stepping Out and Stepping In. Stepping out and stepping in. When I first came to Australia about 22 or 23 years ago as a student, I struggled a lot with performance anxiety. You would not catch me standing in front of a group of people like this, despite the fact that I liked to talk. And once upon a time, I had such a fear of public speaking that I nearly fainted when I was told I had to give a 5-minute speech in class. It was very bad. You know, it's not uncommon for people in a crowd like this to have a fear of public speaking. And I bet if I was to ask for volunteers right now, for people to come and give an impromptu speech, very few people would volunteer. Is that correct?
Yeah. No.
Yeah? So having to speak in public, especially at short notice, takes you out of your comfort zone. And that's what it was for me. It was taking me out of my comfort zone. A comfort zone is basically a situation in which you feel comfortable and you don't have to do anything new. You don't have to do anything difficult. Familiar territory. It's a safe zone. So, like I mentioned, we've started a new series on the Book of Ruth. So this is part one of that. Now, we're going to read from the Book of Ruth, chapter 1, verse 1. To 18. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, and his wife's name was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness, as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud, and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who would become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has turned against me." At this, they wept aloud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. Just to summarize, we have a situation where there's a famine in Bethlehem. This man decides he and his family need to move out of this place and look for greener pastures. So they move to the land of Moab, and they take their two sons there. Unfortunately, the husband dies. And after she dies, Naomi is left with her two sons. Later on, these two sons get married. Unfortunately, these two sons also die. And then Naomi hears that that place where she left a famine, there seems to have been a turnaround. God seems to have done something there. She heard that something had changed. And I believe that she probably had a yearning to go back home, because the only reason they had left was because of the famine. So she and her daughters-in-law leave Moab. This is the girl's home. They leave Moab to go back to Bethlehem. Along the way, Naomi starts to have second thoughts. And she decides that the girls, I'm calling them girls, she decides that they need to go back to their families. We read in verse 8 to 9. Then Naomi said to her daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness, as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Essentially, Naomi pronounces a blessing over her daughters-in-law. She encourages them to go back and start a new life. You know, this caused me to start thinking and have some questions. And one of the big questions I had was this: was it a blessing, or was it a comfort zone, or was it both? Blessing, comfort zone, or was it both? Sometimes what looks like a good thing can actually be a trap that stops you from growing or changing because it's so comfortable. In many ways, for most, going back to your family home would be so wonderful. For most, not for all. But it's not wonderful for growth. There's no growth. It's just comfortable. You know, we talk about comfort foods. We have our favorite TV shows, right? We even have our favorite comfort clothes. I don't know who has comfort clothes. You know those clothes that you wear, they grow old, but you still wear them? And those shoes that you had, those slippers, right? Is this that comfort? We do read also, moving on to verse 9, it says that, then she, being Naomi, kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi says, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husband?" So she goes on and on about why, you know, they should go. Now, Naomi puts forward a convincing case. She highlighted that, look, I have got nothing to give you. I have no more sons. I'm too old. Time is against me. She even says, God is against her. God is against her. You know, when life, I have this question for you. When life circumstances seem against you, and evidence is stacked against you, like the case that Naomi was pleading to these girls, do you give up and go back to the familiar? Or do you hang in there to try the new? Something to ponder. Now, all of us come from different walks in life. So when I ask that question, you'll be thinking of different areas. Some of you are thinking about family. Some of you are thinking about work. Some of you are thinking about business decisions. It's different for every person. Now, verse 14, we read, at this, they wept aloud. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. But Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her God. Go back with her. There will be people who will expect you to do what everybody else is doing, and try to convince you to get back into your comfort zone. On the surface, what Naomi was saying was a good thing to Orpah and to Ruth. But it's interesting, she's saying to Ruth, do what she did. She's gone back. Go back with her. And there may be times in your life where you have major decisions to make. And there will be different voices coming at you. Some voices will say to you, just do what they're doing. It's okay. You're allowed to not want to do that thing. You're allowed to not want to speak up. You're allowed to be afraid of speaking in public. It's okay. But there's no growth. There's no growth in that. Verse 16 says, but Ruth replied. Now this is the core of my message. Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Ruth was loyal. She was committed to Naomi, even beyond the grave. She was not about to desert Naomi, and she was not about to reject her. You know, this year, the theme, the vision has been the power of relationship. There was a divine connection right there between Naomi and Ruth. This was no ordinary daughter and mother-in-law relationship. And I don't think I'm wrong to say that there tends to be tensions between mothers and, you know, daughters and mothers-in-law. Am I correct around that? Am I or am I not? Yeah? So this was quite a unique relationship. Loyalty to divine connection. When I say divine connections, I just mean those relationships. You know, that those people that you meet and you think, this is not a normal connection. There's something special about this person. There's something unique about this relationship. And God is in this relationship in a very unique way. Loyalty to divine connection will cause you to rebel against going back to what others expect of you. Ruth was loyal to Naomi. There was a divine connection. And that connection caused her to rebel against going back to what was expected of her. Verse 17 says, where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me. You know, I found it quite interesting. We're having a wedding today, and I know at the end of weddings, one of the things we hear is, till what? Yeah. Till death do us part. Meaning, when you die, that's it. Right? You can move on to another relationship. But Ruth is saying, even death, may the Lord deal with me ever so severely, if even death separates you and me. Ruth's loyalty to Naomi was not normal. It was more than just admirable. It was odd, and it was worth wondering about. You see, while Naomi was lamenting that God had punished her, Ruth, on the other hand, was dead set on pointing out to Naomi that theirs was a divine connection. It was such a contrast. Naomi is saying, God has deserted me. Ruth is saying, this is a divine connection. Ruth had a deep love. That's the only conclusion I could reach out of this. Ruth had a deep love for Naomi. Please, you can put up the slide five, thank you. Life begins outside of your comfort zone. That is so true. Life begins outside of your comfort zone. In stepping out of something, we automatically step into something. When you step out of your comfort zone, you step into the unknown, the uncomfortable, the unpredictable, the scary, the painful. That's why nobody wants to do it. Ruth chose to step into something, and that's something, I call it the faith zone. Ruth had a deep faith. Next slide, please. says you're now leaving the comfort zone. I'd like that you just think about this. What would that look like for you right now with all that's going on in your life? What would stepping out of your comfort zone look like? Is it leaving a job that you hate? Is it entering a new relationship? Is it speaking to someone about church, about your faith? What does that look like? Is it making that bold statement? Is it having that conversation that you've been dreading to have? Because there are conversations that we should have, but we don't have because we're too scared to. Joshua chapter 1 verse 9, one of my favorite verses. It says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." My favorite line, wherever you go. I like to put my own, you know, little interpretation on words like that. Wherever you go, to me that means anywhere. That God will be with me anywhere I go. Whether it's to a job interview, whether it's to a conversation, whether it's to a dreaded event, whatever it is, even coming here would have been a dreaded event for some. But God says, wherever you go, I will be with you. Ruth had a lot of courage. For someone to say, where you die, I will die, takes a lot of courage. Faith begins, next slide please, at the end of your comfort zone. I just like to say this. Next slide. Don't ask God to direct your steps if you're not willing to move your feet. Sometimes we can spend a lot of time asking God to do something, but we're not willing. It's a partnership. It's not one-sided. So we spent about 8 years in Port Hedland. And there was a time when I was in Port Hedland where I was very frustrated. And I remember going to see our pastor to talk to him about my frustration, which was that I felt like God was saying some things to me, whether it was through dreams or through revelation as I read the word. It was just all these things. And I told the pastor, I said, I've asked God to stop communicating with me. I threw a bit of a tantrum, really, with God. I was like, please keep the dreams. Please keep the revelation, because it's not working for me. I don't know what to do with them. And this is what my pastor said. He said, so basically, God has shown you all these things, and you have decided to keep them as monuments for you to admire, like antiques. Then he invites me to speak in front of the church the following Sunday, at which point I looked at him in disbelief, like he had just betrayed me. Because in my head I was thinking to myself, you and your big mouth. Why couldn't you just keep quiet? Then none of this would be happening. Because all of a sudden, I was being challenged once again to step out of my comfort zone. I have this big question. I wonder what would have happened if Ruth had not opened up her mouth. What would have happened if she had not pushed against what her mother-in-law was saying? What would have happened if she had followed Naomi's direction that go with your sister-in-law? Nobody would have blamed Ruth for that. But there was something inside of Ruth that said, no, this can't end like this. This relationship can't end like this. And I think it's because Ruth had a revelation there that that relationship was divine, that there was something that was going to come out of that relationship with Naomi. So, as I wrap it up, I wonder, what if we followed Ruth's footsteps? What difference would it make to our lives individually, as couples, as families, as a community of believers, if we had the same mindset as Ruth. Wherever you go, I will go. If we had that same mindset, that resolve that Ruth had. If we dared to open our mouths and not just think about it. This is what I think would happen. We would probably invite someone to church or to connect group. We would probably serve in an area in the church. We would probably pray bold prayers. We would probably use our God-given gifts and talents. We would probably step in to our destiny like Ruth did. Now, although this was not the focus of my message, I just want to tell you a little bit more about Ruth and why she's there in the Bible. You see, the thing is, if Ruth had not opened her mouth, I don't think that book Ruth would be there. God would have found another way to do what he has done here. Now, the way the story ends is this, and this is the power of relationship. Ruth ends up connecting with a man called Boaz. And this was through Naomi. This was Naomi's connection. So because of her connection to Naomi, Ruth meets and marries a man called Boaz. When we go to the book of Matthew, we won't read it. Chapter 1, verse 1 to 17. That's where we hear about Boaz. And when we look at the genealogy, Boaz had Obed. And Ruth was the mother of Obed. Obed had Jesse. Jesse had David. And there were 14 generations between Abraham to David, another 14 from David to the Babylonian exile, and yet another 14 from the Babylonian exile to Christ. What am I saying? There's a connection between Ruth and Christ, which means there's a connection, if you're a believer and a follower of Christ, between you and Ruth. Because she opened her mouth and dared to push through, dared to move out of her comfort zone. That's all food for thought. Now, we could walk out of here and think, wow, that was an interesting message. And we could just forget about it. But I'd like to challenge you this morning to just think about letting go of your comfort zone and entering your faith zone. Now, the reason why most people don't do that is because they get overwhelmed. And the reason they get overwhelmed is because they think it means big. They hear the word faith zone and they think, oh, that's big. That's too much for me. Maybe for someone else, but not for me. But it all takes a shift in your thinking. Letting go of your comfort zone is a small thing. It's about having that conversation. It's about picking up that phone call and calling that person. It's about even this morning talking to someone that you wouldn't normally talk to. Asking questions when usually you'd be the one waiting there for someone to ask you questions. That's stepping out of your comfort zone. And as you step out, that's when things start to happen. So, I don't know if you're okay to just stand, please. If you can, as we wrap it up, I'll get you to just stand. If you're okay with closing your eyes, I'll get you to just please, thank you. Thank you for your attention. Thank you for listening. I'd like to invite you to just pray with me, if you feel comfortable. Please repeat after me. Feel free to close your eyes. We're just going to say a prayer that allows us to shift our relationship, because there's power in relationship, where faith is the currency. So please repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross to take away my sin. I have lived in my own comfort zone, and now I choose to step into the faith zone. I want to hand over my life as I enter that faith zone. Please forgive me and take leadership of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please take your seat. Thank you for participating in that. If you said that prayer for the first time, please feel free to connect with myself or Pastor Stephen or Andrew or Mr. Donovan. I don't know where he is at the end, because we want to hand you a package that's going to help you go into that next step. I just want you all to know that we appreciate you being here this morning. Having so many people here besides attending church is a testament of the relationship and the power of relationship of Donna and Stuart. We're happy for them, and I'm sure you're all happy for them. And now I'm just going to hand over to the band and let them just keep playing. Yeah. All right. So we're just going to let them play, but what we're going to do is we're just going to have a little bit of a break as we finish setting up. So you can, feel free to mingle, say hello to a few people, go outside, go use the loo if you need to. And then in about 10 minutes, 15 minutes, we're going to gather back here and the marriage ceremony is going to start. Thank you.